This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Smart Money Podcast, a series of financial tips for different life stages. Get your money right for your life. This podcast is brought to you by Discovery, and I am Maya Fisher-French. And each week, we chat to a money expert to find the answers to those pressing financial questions. Now, a few years ago, I was sitting on a plane next to a guy in his late 30s, and he told me a bit about his life story, which is usually what happens when you get stuck in a tin can miles above the earth. But his was a classic get rich young and blow the fortune story. So he had started a very successful tech business, which he sold at the age of 28, and he went on to spend money on cars, entertainment, and reckless business ventures. But basically, by his early 30s, he had to start all over again. But what was quite interesting is he had this sort of philosophical view. He believed that he had learned valuable lessons and he was now more mature and ready to make the right decisions. And I gathered from the conversation that he was already on his way to a new success. But this time, he was very much focused on longevity and not instant wealth. So today, I wanted to chat to Grant Khoury, certified financial planner, about the pitfalls of getting a lot of money, whether that's inherited or earned, when you're young and you still perhaps to learn some of those tougher life lessons. Welcome, Grant.
Thanks for having me, Maya.
Thank you. Did that story resonate with you? Is that something that you come across in your practice quite often?
Absolutely. And I think it all starts with getting the right advice. If you're suffering with a heart complication, are you potentially going to go to the pharmacy and ask for some over-the-counter medication? Or perhaps you're going to go to your GP? My guess is you're going to bypass the GP, and excuse the pun, and go straight to a cardiac surgeon.
For the bypass.
The same applies to financial planning. At the end of the day, different advisors have different qualifications. And one of the highest qualifications you can obtain in our industry is a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I would strongly advise all of your listeners to seek advice from a certified financial planner, especially if you know your needs are complex. Someone that holds a CFP generally has to uphold certain values, which are similar to those of a lawyer and an accountant. So to me, you know, it all starts with getting the right advice.
Just getting somebody to remind you about what this money needs to do for you. Because what I find quite often is that when somebody gets a lump sum of money, they don't always understand what that translates to in terms of income. So you're 25 years old and you inherit 5 million. And you think, wow, that's amazing, I've won the lotto. But in reality, if you actually do the maths, that's maybe 20,000 rand per month. It's not going to sustain the lifestyle that you've now imagined in your head, the cars and the fast, entertainment and all the rest that this young man had got involved in. So getting the right advice, how do you talk to people about understanding that 5 million actually, when you're young, is not a lot of money?
Absolutely. And it's a big mistake a lot of people make. As you mentioned, your numbers are pretty much spot on. If you factor tax into account and someone is living off that capital, it doesn't last very long and they tend to erode it and it eventually diminishes to nothing. So I think the advice is very, very important to actually sit down with the individual, especially when they're younger, and try and guide them to show them exactly how it could impact their lives, obviously, later on. And obviously the compound effect of keeping your funds invested for a 30 or 40 year period versus drawing down income over a 5 or 6 year period at the end of the day to sustain, you know, a lifestyle that potentially is not achievable.
And I think that's it, understanding cash flow.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, people don't always understand cash flow. And, you know, we've been talking up till now about that windfall scenario. You know, you get the 5 million at a young age. But you also get the high income earning. You've got somebody who's well qualified. By the age of 30, they're probably earning a million a year, but they're spending 1.5 million a year. And I always think, you know, financial freedom or obtaining financial freedom is not so much what you earn, it's what you're spending. And I mean, do you find that a lot as well, that the more you earn, the more you spend?
Maya, that's a fantastic question. And it makes one think, when last did they do a budget? I come across so many people and clients that I've taken on that have never done a budget. And financial planning starts with understanding what are your earnings and what are your expenses. And it is so scary to sit with people that don't know the reality of what's going on in their bank account. And often I'll sit with people earning 100, 150,000 rand a month, and the expenses are 110 or 170,000 rand a month, respectively. So they're actually earning, or they're actually spending more than they're earning.
But they don't realize that because they're using credit cards, they're using overdrafts.
The problem they don't realize it is when they get their bonuses, if they work in a corporate, that bonus comes in and it generally settles overdrafts, school fees and other bits and pieces that they've put on the back burner, and they're in the same position again. And they never ever moving forward because they are spending more than they're earning, and a lot of them don't realize it.
You know, this reminded me of in 2008, you know, the financial industry, you know, a lot of this banking world and that live a lot for bonuses. There's a lot of bonuses that come along, and those bonuses paid the private school fees. And then 2008 came and no bonuses happened, and people suddenly woke up to that realization that they didn't have money to pay their kids' school fees. They didn't have money to settle a credit card because it was always paid by the bonus. So, I mean, I think what you're saying is very true. Now you get that young person sitting in front of you. Well, not so young anymore. Now they may be in their early 30s, but they've blown kind of 5 years of opportunity. And what that means in terms of catching up.
So personally, I mean, I wish I started at the tender age of 22 or 23. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm in the pool that didn't. And, you know, when I look at my own financial plan, if I had started at the age of 22 with my retirement structure, my numbers would be looking vastly different. But what it does allow me to do is it does allow me to communicate that to clients and sit down and say, at the end of the day, I know you don't see it as a priority now when you're 22 or 23. And I can have that conversation with their parents, maybe clients of mine, and instill that discipline that they can also reinforce it to start planning, you know, when you are starting your working career, and it makes all the difference later on in life. I look after quite a mature client base, and it is scary how many of my clients are not in a space to retire comfortably. And I think that goes for the bulk of advisors. You know, people in general, they may have a good couple of million, tens, twenties of million, but at the end of the day, when you've got to revert that back into income, there are generally shortfalls on someone's portfolio. And it's sad because you walk in this road with them and you potentially know that they're going to run short, or they may not be able to maintain their current standard of living that they've enjoyed for the last 10 or 20 years.
I think it must be so hard when you're 25 to think that one day you're going to get to 65 and you're still going to want to have a good life. It's sort of like, well, I'll spend it all now and have the good life now, because really, what does a 65-year-old need money for? But, you know, you get to 65 and I think it must be so hard to suddenly realize that you're going to have to cut all that hard work you've done, all that effort you've put into your life, and you're not living the lifestyle that you hoped for.
Absolutely. And I think also changes in and enhancements in the medical industry are allowing us to live longer. So that adds more complexities in terms of someone retiring at 65 and potentially now living to 100, where we'd normally cater for 20 years, 25 years in terms of retirement income and providing in sufficient funds. Now you may need to change those numbers and run for 35 or 40 years if someone's going to live to 100 or beyond. And, you know, the burden sits with us as advisors and with the clients to actually sit and assess these on an individual basis. And you obviously potentially need to either push out retirement age or, you know, try and put away a bit more.
I've got a question for you, Grant. Go back to that 22-year-old self. If you'd sat in front of you, like an advisor who kind of could give you some thought-provoking ideas about their future, do you think you would have changed your behavior? And the other part of my question is, have you come across clients where you have been able to change their behavior? Or is it just no matter what you hear when you're that age, you know, you're not interested?
Absolutely. So look, I mean, you know, people are living for instant gratification. Someone earns 10,000 rand in the month, they want to spend their 10,000 rand a month, especially someone of the ages between 22 and 30. Generally, what they tend to do is live for the now. And, you know, I think that's just the times we live in. I believe if I sat in front of someone that came highly recommended and someone that I trusted, and they said to me, you got to take 10 or 15% of your salary, of your gross salary. So it's very different between your net and your gross. So of your gross salary, and start cutting that up into short term, medium term, and long-term savings for the various goals you want to put in place for yourself, whether it's to buy property in the next couple of years, whether it's to potentially invest in a business in the next 10 years, and long-term, obviously, for retirement. And I believe that people build habits. If you're used to spending 10,000 rand a month because you're earning 10,000 rand a month, if I give you 20,000 rand a month, you're going to want to spend 20.
100, 200.
Absolutely. So it's all relative. So I believe it boils down to discipline. And if you can pull the reins in and instill that discipline within oneself to say, let me try and live within my means, put a component away for my future and my family's future, life becomes a lot easier.
Grant, thank you. And I hope, listeners, that what you've realized that you need to learn from other people's lessons before you make your own mistakes and make those rands work for you even earlier. Join us for more of these conversations on Smart Money, brought to you by Discovery. Get your money right for your life.
This is CliffCentral.com.